Just a few things. Messy Church is at 3:30, and as usual, everyone is welcome. You can, you know, you could be little or big or in between, and you're very welcome to come. And then Reflective Worship is at 6:30, and there's also refreshments with that. We just want to say thank you to Ken for leading us in our service this morning. Pastoral news, we've got some really good news. Ted Bellingham has accepted the call for Bookham URC, which I think it deserves a round of applause. And Sue Shaw, it's her last Sunday with us. Is it your birthday as well? Oh! And happy birthday to Sue! We did that. No, I think that's a bit much, isn't it? Afterwards. And I think that's about it. I need to tell you something about for Rosemary. Sorry, I nearly forgot. Starting next Sunday, 1st of July, the garden at 27 Hatch Place, North Kingston, home of Rosemary and Gordon, will be open between 2 and 5 with tea, cakes and chat for any church members or friends who would be interested. Her idea is that those who are unable to get out much will be able to get a lift in a friend's car. And if it seems popular, she's suggesting that all the Sundays in July and August, obviously not the church weekend one, she will do the same. So I think that would be nice. If you could let her know that you're coming, so that she has enough tea and enough cake. And she says it is a very tiny garden. So about 15 or so people at a time would be maximum, unless people came and went. Right. And I think that's about it. And finally, Liz wants to say a few words.
It's the summer concert from the Kingston Third Age Orchestra on Wednesday this week. It's in the morning. It's a free concert. It's at 11:30 a.m. here. That's this Wednesday. And the most nicest piece is by Tchaikovsky. It's for cello and orchestra, and the soloist is a very brilliant young man from the Guildhall School of Music. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you can come.
Good morning, everybody. I've got a very pleasant duty to perform in your name, and that's to give these flowers to Maddie with our love and best wishes for a rather special birthday. Thank you. we're going to open our service by saying together the words of Psalm 107, and you will see that we have projected the words in English and in Korean. So we hope that we will have both languages as we say it together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is eternal. Repeat these words in praise to the Lord, all you whom he has saved. He has rescued us from your enemies and has from east and west and north. Some sailed over the ocean in ships, and they saw what the Lord can do, his wonderful acts on the seas. He commanded. We join to sing, God who made the earth, the air, the sky, the sea, who gave the light its birth, God cares for me. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Let's say together, Lord God, most merciful, you confess to our faults. in repentance and faith, receive the promise of grace and the assurance of pardon. Here are words you may trust, words that merit full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To all who turn to him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally is now going to lead us, and the address, I understand, will involve all of us.
Hello? Good morning. Good morning. The flip chart is supposed to be that way round for the moment, okay? I need some help today. I need some adults to help as well as the children. So, Sue, she's one I pre-prepared earlier. Bethany, anyone else? Maddie, thank you. And Jane. So, it's all girls. All girls. Now, I think perhaps Sue and Jane, you can help the children. No, actually, it'd be easier for you to do the instructions. No. Maddie and Bethany, you're going to help the children, and Sue and Jane are going to do some instructing. Okay, now what's going to happen in a minute when I ask Stuart, he's going to put something up on the screen. And it's called a tangram, okay? It's a square which is made up of different coloured shapes. And Sue and Maddie are going to describe it to you, and you're going to, Bethany and Maddie, sorry, are going to describe it to you. And I'm hoping you're going to put it together for me on the flip chart without looking at the screen. You mustn't look at the screen, okay? You've got to listen to the instructions and see if you can put this shape together with these different colours. It's got blue tack on each strip, okay? Yeah. So I'm going to give you the different colours to put together, and then when you think you've done it, we will turn that way. It's a square, and it's made up of all those different coloured shapes, all right? And we'll see whether your square matches what's on the screen, all right? No cheating. Right, okay, so if you... Okay, right. So don't look at the screen. Right, Maddie and Bethany, you're going to help. Sue and Jane are going to try and describe the shape that they see, okay? Maddie, turn round, because you can't see either. No, 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 you've got to just help. <She doesn't. coughs> Right, okay. Can we have the picture on the screen? Right, so...
There's a triangle on the left. A green triangle on the left. In the middle.
The pointer piece goes in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
The straight edge is along the side.
The longer side is on the left.
It. So far, so good. Right, the red triangle
is next to the green piece, but the pointed piece is in the middle.
The red triangle is next to the green triangle. The red point points towards the centre of the square. Don't move the green bit. That was right. Yeah. Okay. The point goes towards the middle.
Yes, that's right for me.
At the top. That's it. Brilliant. So far, so good. Now
there's a lime green, a small triangle. It's lime green.
Yellow. The yellow triangle.
Okay. That goes
at the top on the right side.
Top right underneath.
With the point in the middle.
Pointing in the middle.
The point is in the middle. That's it, they're doing well.
So the blue one is at the bottom attached. Light blue is attached to the yellow at the bottom right.
The light blue is attached to the yellow. There's three left, so we'll work it out. Right, where does the dark blue one go?
The dark blue is at the bottom, attached to the green, and it's a parallel.
Yeah, have they got it?
And the purple is in the middle, attached to the orange, the red, the green, and the blue, with the
The point of the pink, the point of the purpley pink one, touches the point of the red one. The light blue one isn't quite right.
The orange square is attached to the red, the purple, and the yellow, and then the blue. The blue is
That's it.
And then That one's not right. The triangle in there. No, purple. Purple triangle. Yeah, that's it. We'll see how we've done. Right, you can sit down. We'll see how we've done. You did it! Could you have done it on your own? No. I want to say something about teamwork. Because there's something in the Bible about teamwork that you're going to be learning about today. Bible itself says we can't do anything on our own. As a church, we need each other. We need the children in the church. We need the grown-ups in the church. We need people who can lead worship. We need people who can put things on screens. We need a minister. We need people to do teas and coffees. There's a whole list of things that need to be done in a church, and different people do different things. And the Bible says without one, it's like a body without a head or a body without arms. The arms can't say to the legs, we don't need you. The feet can't say to the head, we don't need you. We need each other to work together and achieve things together. Not just making pretty shapes like this, but in the church. Okay, so I want you to remember we're all important. We've all got something important to do, and we're going to be thinking today what the children can offer to the church, what your gifts are, and how you can serve Jesus, okay? And maybe the adults can be thinking about what their gift is to the church as well as we work together to achieve things for Jesus, okay? Well done, and thank you to my volunteers for your help. We're going to sing.
I think it would be nice if we played one verse, the first verse of the first hymn that we played, number 62. Because I chose this because I thought you would understand the words very clearly and maybe you could remember it. And here are the words. Shall we say that together? Can you read it and say it aloud? Let's do that. Right? God made the earth. And the important, really important line in each of those verses is the last line. God cares for me, or still cares for me. Right, let's sing it all the way through. Children, you are now leaving for your classes. So before you go, we'll just ask a prayer for the congregation to join in. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gifts of children. We ask for your blessing on our children and all who teach and care for them. Help to enjoy their lessons and to learn more about you. Amen. We have two readings today, and because Margaret Golding has not been able to be here today, Olive is going to read both of the lessons. So first, 2 Corinthians.
St. Paul's letter to Corinthians, a second letter, chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In our work together with God, then, we beg you who have received God's grace not to let it be wasted. Hear what God says. When the time came for me to show you favor, I heard you. When the day arrived for me to save you, I helped you. Listen, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. We do not want anyone to find fault with our work, so we try not to put obstacles in anyone's way. Instead, in everything we do, we show that we are God's servants by patiently enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties. We have been beaten, imprisoned, and mobbed. We have been overworked and have gone without sleep or food. By our purity, knowledge, patience, and kindness, we have shown ourselves to be God's servants. By the Holy Spirit, by our true love, by our message of truth, and by the power of God. We have righteousness as our weapon, both to attack and to defend ourselves. We are honored and disgraced. We are insulted and praised. We are treated as liars, yet we speak the truth. As unknown, yet we are known by all. As though we were dead, but as you see, we live on. Although punished, we are not killed. Although saddened, we are always glad. We seem poor, but we make many people rich. We seem to have nothing, yet we really possess everything. Dear friends in Corinth, we have spoken frankly to you. We have opened our hearts wide. It is not we who have closed our hearts to you. It is you who have closed your hearts to us. I speak now as though you were my children. Show us the same feelings that we have for you. Open your hearts wide. Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 5. Jesus calms a storm. On the evening of that same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd. The disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats were there too. Suddenly, a strong wind blew up, and the waves began to spill over into the boat so that it was about to fill with water. Jesus was in the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a pillow. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind, "Be quiet." And he said to the waves, "Be still." The wind died down and there was a great calm. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you frightened? Have you still no faith?" But they were terribly afraid and said to one another, "Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
There are times in our lives when things are outside our control. This may be a feeling of helplessness in the face of external disasters like Grenfell Tower, or the introduction of a universal benefit system by government, which Dame Louise Casey, a universal expert, has described as cruel and inhumane. And we know that government continues to encourage a climate of hostility, which involves a numbing of empathy with people in great need. or it may be out of control because you find yourself among the increasing number of people who are depressed and lonely, trapped by oppressive models of disgust, of success, and driven by a self-punishing urge to achieve concerns which are actually unrealistic. In the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, human tumult and personal depression are pictured by storms which require a divine intervention to release us. The psalmist used the metaphor of great waters to symbolize depression. Save me, O Lord, for the waters have come into my soul. You rage the raging of the sea. When the waters rise, you can still them. And again, he sent them from on high. He sent me from on high. He took me. He drew me out of the great waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, because they were too strong for me. Mark, in today's gospel, and in the story which follows the one we heard, tells in succession how the disciples were helpless and terrified by the storm on the lake. And then he tells the story of the terrifying maniac who lived among the tombs. On the lake, Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and waves to be still. He then said, "Why are you so frightened? Have you no faith?" But they were terribly afraid and said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Jesus then confronted the evil spirits who controlled the maniac. In Mark's account, significantly, only the evil spirits recognized who Jesus was. They said, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want of us?" Jesus gave liberation to the possessed man so that he sat calmly clothed and in his right mind. Mark's bringing together of these two accounts is not an accident. He is simply setting down his experience of what Jesus did. And that combination contains the answer to the question, "Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In his two stories, Mark shows how Jesus calms the turmoil of our lives and brings us inner peace. He shows how Jesus did exactly what the psalmist said that God would do. So the answer to the question, "Who is this man?" is revealed by the context. This is Jesus. He is the one who can enable us to survive in the oppressive ethos in which we live, and who can also bring us personal peace. The biblical metaphor of the storm is relevant to us. In some ways, it seems to me that in our life and society, the search for internal peace and external peace has become connected. We are well briefed on the troubles of our world. And in these circumstances, to be at peace within a troubled world is not actually a reasonable aim. Peace could only be achieved by a disavowal of what surrounds you. However, to be at peace with yourself within a troubled world. That is an honourable aspiration. This has always been the situation of those who seek to follow Jesus. In the words of Hebrews, it was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. They did not receive the things that God promised, but from a long way off they saw them and welcomed them and admitted openly that they were foreigners and refugees on earth. And they who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a kingdom which is not their own. Instead, it is a better country they long for, the heavenly country. And so God is not ashamed for them to call him their God, because he has prepared a city for them. The evil of our times is so great that we are compelled to practice our faith in the public square. It's no longer acceptable, if indeed it ever was, to have a private religion. You've seen the coverage of the Grenfell fire. We could hardly fail to be moved by the dignity of those who lived there. And we are appalled that the warning voices which they gave went unheard before the disaster. And we resolve to do better. But we need to realize that what happened in Grenfell was a parable. It could have happened on 100 other blocks. And the people in those other blocks are as dignified and as worth hearing as the people in Grenfell Tower. It's not therefore enough simply to deal with the Grenfell problem. The whole national response to people in social housing must change utterly. The fundamental problem is much wider than dealing with that one thing. Our problem is that we do not, as a nation, respect or protect people in social housing. The current pattern of neglect is based on race, class, and low income, and is a matter for national repentance. This week has also seen the publication of the list of people who died in drowned in tried to reach Fortress Europe. Over 34,000 men, women, and children. Most drowned. But many others died because of the way they were treated when they reached land. The UK has been much less generous than many other countries in taking immigrants and has also been shamefully complicit in preventing young people in Calais from taking up the places that the government had actually agreed to give them. Within our own country, uncertainty about employment, relationships, housing, and the long-term stress, anxiety, and depression that they bring comes very close to home. It affects the future of our families and young people. And we have seen a spectacular rise in certain psychiatric conditions like self-harm, eating disorders, and fear of other people. In the face of this social tumult, what can we do in the name of Jesus? There are some pointers, I think. Personal relationships are paramount to all of us. A recent report of the Health Foundation recorded that only 31% of young people were able to report strong relationships and support groups. And just under half thought that they had emotional support from their families. This underlines the importance of face-to-face relationships, particularly in the way in which we here support our friends and family members, both young and old. There's no substitute for face-to-face contact and friendship. It's a key part of our Christian commitment. We can also see the immense value of belonging to a community. In North Kensington, before, during, and after the Grenfell Tower, people gathered round among local communities. The communities were the Al-Manar Mosque, St. Clement's, the parish church, and Notting Hill, the Methodist church. The importance of these were quite out of proportion to their membership. People used them quite apart from whether they believed the religious belief practiced by those organizations. Alan Everett, the vicar of St. Clement's, said this about the function of the local church. Recent particular political developments have shown that many people feel angry and helpless. Creating a connection between people and their government is now an urgent political task. Local ministry gives credibility to those who speak in the name of Christ about social justice. And all these things are only conceivable for those who have faith. We must constantly bear in two things in mind. First, that for Jesus, the kingdom of God was a central proclamation. And second, that his earthly throne was the cross. We would not, therefore, expect easy victories. But, in the words of Paul, as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions and hardships, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. Through these things, in fact and in faith, God's relations with the world and with ourselves can transform situations in a way which is miraculous. Miracles happen when the natural is transformed, not by making it supernatural and so unnatural, but by enabling the unbelievable fullness of what we have been given to come through with us as we open ourselves up to the action of the Spirit. In this, as we act in faith, there can be a kind of convergence between an intervening spiritual power and our human activity. And this is the way, as we work together with him, that the grace of God, which has been given to us, will never be given in vain. Keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing, Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm doth bind the restless wave.
Thank you.
Let us bring our prayers for ourselves, for our families, and for the world before the presence of God. The end of each section of prayers, when I say, "The Lord is my shepherd," will you respond, "There is nothing we shall want"? The Lord is my shepherd. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, our lives will reflect his nature. God is close to us as we pray. He is attentive to us now. Lord, whenever we weep, whenever you weep about our harshness, make your tears melt our hearts of stone. Whenever you grieve about our double standards, shock us into honesty again. Make us receptive to your teaching, willing to take your risks, and eager to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus. The Lord is our shepherd. There is nothing we shall want. When the news overwhelms us, nudge us to fervent prayer. Wherever leaders meet to negotiate peace, be present at the conference table. Breathe your values into our thinking. Tear down the divisive barriers and renew us to lead the world into loving. The Lord is our shepherd. We pray for the world's economy. We pray for fair management and distribution of resources, for fair trade and just wages, for greater awareness and concern about injustice, for a commitment to our responsibilities as planet sharers and earth dwellers. The Lord is our shepherd. We pray for all parents with young children, thanking you for them and asking them to bless and guide their parenting. We pray for families in debt, for those whose homes have been repossessed, and those whose financial security makes them unaware of your love. The Lord is our shepherd. We pray for those who are burdened with financial worries, for those who struggle to make ends meet all over the world. We pray for the emotionally and spiritually bankrupt and those who do not yet know God's love for them. The Lord is our shepherd. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for your coming, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and our meditations may give us glory. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We join to sing, "Calm Me, Lord, as you calm the storm." continue our service as we receive our offering. Dear Lord, we know that true richness is not material wealth, and true security is not a financial matter. We thank you for all those who give support to this church, and we dedicate our offerings to your service and the extension of your kingdom. Bless our giving, guide our spending, and help us to value the true wealth of your abundant love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
let's conclude our service with the blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We share the grace as we leave. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.